The voice of Michelle Norris will be familiar to KLCC listeners. She has been host of All Things Considered. Her award-winning reporting and interviews have been heard on NPR. She wrote a family memoir, The Grace of Silence, published in 2010. Norris curates The Race Card Project on NPR. She's in Eugene for a presentation at the University of Oregon. Michelle Norris joins us in the KLCC studios, along with NPR senior producer Walter Ray Watson. Thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
Would you describe The Race Card Project for us?
It is a collection of short stories, very short stories, stories that are only 6 words long. I ask people to engage in a little exercise to think about the word race and then think about whatever pops in their mind, their experiences, their observations, their memories, their triumphs, their laments, whatever it is, and then to take that you know, those thoughts about race or cultural identity or ethnic identity, and then reduce that to one sentence, and the sentence can only have 6 words.
What was the impetus for the project? Did it come out of your experience of writing your memoir?
It did, and it came out of, frankly, my fear of going out and talking about race with large audiences after I wrote my memoir. I thought no one would want to talk about race, and my memoir was mainly about my family's complex racial legacy. So I figured that I had to find some way to pull the audience in a little bit, to talk about race, to give them an opening, a portal. And so that's where this idea came from, was to make that conversation a little bit easier and a little bit more interactive.
For both of you, I wonder if the project has changed how you understand or define what is race.
That's a great question. It's hard to answer because I think it's changed my answer for what is race. It certainly has broadened and deepened my understanding of how people approach it, of how people think about it in their own lives, in their own communities, because we're hearing from so many different voices and learning of so many experiences, and it's there's such a great dimensionality to it. It's thicker, it's more nuanced than just black, white, white, black, because it's ethnicity, it's culture, it's who you fear, who you decide to make friends with, make peace with. It just goes on and on.
For me, there are distinct lessons. There's a big difference between race and racism. One reason people run away from the conversation is they fear that it's going to be a conversation about racism as opposed to a conversation about race and our experiences around that or how those little moments define us. We often think about race in terms of big, seismic, volcanic moments in the news. The Trayvon Martin verdict, the election of a first person of color to whatever office or taking some office someplace, immigration debates, Asian quotas cropping up in schools again. Many of the stories that we get are about small moments, something that someone remembers from childhood, you know, falling in love with someone who doesn't look like you, going to the store and realizing that someone puts change on the counter instead of in their hand.
Well, I tried to come up with my own 6-word essay.
You shouldn't try too hard.
Whatever
pops in your mind.
Yeah, I mean, because I think there's like this, I think my first idea was to be very general, and then I thought more about personally, and I wonder if that's been the case, that the essays have been more personal in terms of one's own experience.
At the beginning, more than half of the submissions came in signed anonymous, and they were broader. Only one race, the human race. All human DNA, 99% same. You know, things like that. But there would also be deep and experiential 6 words. Reason I ended a sweet relationship. My son's not half, he's double. Race is throwing rocks at kids. Submitted by someone who did just that when children were trying to cross the color line to integrate schools in North Carolina. So you'd get some of that, but you know, two of the three that I gave you initially came in anonymous. So at the beginning, that's, you know, that people were sharing their stories, but there was a little bit of hesitation. And then over time, things changed, and the stories got deeper. They reflected observations and experiences and sometimes values that people shared. And they would sign their names. And then not only did they sign their names, they would just keep going. And that's not all I have to say. You know, here's a little bit more about, you know, my experience or my observation. And they would give their full story and sign their name and tell us where they were from. And so you see a little bit of all of that. But you see, you know, now at this point, if you go to the website and spend some time there, you will see deeply personal experiences or observations or stories that people have shared. And the one thing that has encouraged me to keep going with this crazy project, because at the beginning it really did, people would told me I was crazy, and I felt a little bit crazy myself for dedicating so much time to something that involved, you know, postcards and six words, you know. But I kept going for many reasons, and one big one was that when every week you hear from a number of people who tell you that they're expressing something out loud for the first time, you realize that you're occupying a very special space. That, you know, that for some reason this has been a form for people to express those things that they generally keep to themselves. And to share it with us, knowing that we are going to put it in a public site, knowing that this is a forum, that other people will be able to dip into this and see their story and their name, you realize that there's some responsibility that goes along with that, and the responsibility to keep going with it and to make sure that you're a conservator of that archive, that you're handling this material in the right way.
When you, you know, you've kind of answered this, but can you... I feel like it wasn't totally closed. You maybe have answered this, but is there an underlying message that you've gotten out of doing this project? Or maybe there's one today and it's different tomorrow, but was there something that you'd want to share with listeners just about the project in terms of that?
Well, we talked about lessons. And one of the big lessons for me is to think about how we frame the conversation about race. I mean, I'm here to speak at the University of Oregon, and I'm speaking to students, and I'm very aware of the responsibility that goes with speaking to the next generation or a younger generation about this very difficult topic. And I think we do them a disservice when we keep saying that race is hard to talk about. Going to the dentist is difficult, but we still do it. You know, I mean, we do things all the time that maybe we'd prefer not to do. But we keep – it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. We say that race is difficult to talk about, and then when we try to talk about it, lo and behold, it's difficult to talk about. And I know that one of the potential impacts of this project is if people look at this, they realize, oh, you know, maybe it's not so difficult to talk about, or maybe, you know, you can wade in those waters and you won't be burned, or it won't be an awful experience. So when I talk about this, particularly with young people, I try perhaps to convey the idea that race is might be difficult to talk about, and or yet or but, you know, but it will be illuminating, and it could be rewarding. And yet you might learn something, you know, so to put some sort of, to add something to that sentence, so it's not race is difficult to talk about, period, full stop, let's move on, that race is difficult to talk about, and yet it might be something that will be deeply rewarding to you.
And have you found that to happen, Walter?
In short, yes. but I'll add on to that. I think something I want to dovetail and say that Michelle was talking about, it's not just learning, but it's also feeling. Often as not, the fear comes from not knowing what to do with this new information, with this new story, with this new experience. And I think many times after going through that door, after owning up to this is what happened to me or this is what I observed and sharing, it's not as scary anymore. And in finding through the website or through friends that you share this with, it's okay to have these feelings. It's okay to explore something that has been, you know, squirreled away, never to be, you know, furled open like a snake in a can or something. And I think the more we talk about it, the more we have an opportunity to feel about it, the less scary it becomes, and the greater chance of understanding each other comes with that too.
If I were doing it again, if I were starting this again, I often think that I might not have called it the Race Guard Project. I mean, it was a pithy title. I've always hated the phrase the race card. You know, people talk about, oh, he's playing the race card or she's playing the race card. It usually is something said to try to stop down conversation. They're saying something that's making me uncomfortable, and I wish they would stop. So I called it the Race Card Project because I was trying to turn it on its head to say that this is a conversation that's about – this is an exercise that's about stoking conversation as opposed to shutting down a conversation. But in calling it the Race Card Project, there's this perhaps – misunderstanding this is all about race and what people normally attach to that word. And when I started talking about it, you've heard me mention that this is about race and cultural or ethnic identity. And I do that in part because many of the observations that come in, many of the six-word stories have nothing to do with skin tone. For some people, the identifier, their ethnic identifier or their cultural identifier is not about race. So for a long time, Latinos were underrepresented because they say, you're talking about race, so that's not me. That's not a, I'm not, you know, race doesn't apply to me. But my cultural experience is quite interesting. And if you want to know about that, I'll share my six words on that. Many of the six words are from people who talk about their ethnic ancestry or their memories of immigrant culture. And when you talk about immigrant today, when you talk about the immigration debates, you know, a certain image comes to mind. And yet these stories reflect Germans who, you know, had a difficult time living in the High Plains after either World War I or II. Talk about Irish and all of the stereotypes that were too easily attached to Irish culture in a certain period of American history and perhaps even today. So the stories, you know, I have a lot of stories from redheads, you know, who say there are all kinds of assumptions made about redheads. And that's how I'm identified, and this is what I have to say about that. So it's this sort of big diaspora of stories that are about really identity and how people struggle with the issue of identity or how they choose to identify themselves or how they push back with, you know, against assumptions that are made about them or just the memories that, you know, something that just sticks in their head someplace. And so, you know, I'm not sure that I would have called it the race. I mean, I can't change the name now, but I think I'm if I were doing it again, I might think twice about, you know, what I actually decided to call it.
Well, I don't think it's a bad choice for a title for a name for the project.
Well, we're stuck with it now.
definitely, but it's like it's like a traffic light. You always know it's there.
Yeah.
You know, and you know when that there's opportunity to pass into this intersection or to wait your turn. So I don't think it's a bad title.
Well, you know, with race, we often, I talked about how we usually dip into it on volcanic moments. Mm-hmm. And so there's a thought that race is like this thing that arrives like a hurricane or a tornado or, you know, inclement weather, when in fact it's kind of the air that's all around us all the time. It's kind of, you know, it's always sort of there. And this is a way to capture the more nuanced aspects of the racial experience in America. And if you go to the website, the way that the cards are displayed, they actually look like cards that are pinned against a big bulletin board that you just scroll through. But I often think of those cards as little windows. And behind every one of those cards is an individual and an individual story that tells you something about the mosaic of America.
Well, thank you so much, both of you, for joining us, and thanks for visiting Eugene and KLCC, and we look forward to hearing tomorrow's presentation.
It's great to be in Eugene. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
you both.
A lot.